back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Welcome back to Charlie's Geekcast Presents The Adventures of Superman. Our first episode of the day, Airplane Disasters at Bridger Field, Part 6, which first aired on May 10th, 1940, starring Bud Collier as Superman / Clark Kent. Enjoy!
Presenting the transcription feature, Superman!
Up in the sky! Look! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Superman!
Now, Superman, valiant fighter for truth and justice, champion of the weak and the helpless, who has appeared on Earth with a physical structure never before attained by mortal men. Superman, who is stronger than a locomotive, faster than a speeding bullet, and who walks about among human beings as Miles Clark Kent, news reporter for the Daily Planet. When we last saw him, Kent was in the Southwest at Lonely Bridger Field with young Jimmy Olsen, copy boy on the planet, investigating the connection between the man known as Professor Hagen, animal trainer in Lobeck Circus, and the series of mysterious crashes among test planes of the privately owned National Air Service. Finding evidence of Hagen's plans in the caverns below the circus grounds, Superman had taken off in a last desperate attempt to save a brand new mystery plane, last word in aviation science, due to reach Bridger Field at midnight. As our story continues today, not much time is left. Moonlight shines down on the slopes of the Rockies and on the search party headed by young Jimmy and Ed Hamlin of the airport, making their way up the narrow trail by Muleback. And also on the tiny cabin in which Hagen makes his deadly machine ready. Listen.
So it works well. Most instructive, eh, Carl?
What is it, Professor?
What exactly does it do?
If the capable Pedro were here, he could show you to the Queen's States.
Why did you send him back to Del Rio?
Back to Del Rio? By no means, Carl. Merely down the trail to operate the signal devices.
You think there is someone coming?
I'm quite sure of it. Thanks to that interfering newspaper man, Mr. Clark Kent.
What would he do?
I believe he sent out a party to scour the trails above Bridger Field by Muleback.
Professor, if they do that, they'll find the cabin.
Here? Rest easy, Carl. Much will happen before they reach here. Now, see? Watch what occurs when I focus the machine.
I see nothing at all. Professor.
Yes?
What does the teleflame do?
That is my secret, Carl. It stretches out into the dark, silently, invisibly, till it meets the metal of the plane's engine.
Then what?
Then heat. Terrific heat. 10 times hotter than the electric arc. The metal is made white hot, then incandescent. Then it gives way and disappears in the form of gas. It is gone, Carl. Completely gone.
That's why they found the no motors in the wrecks.
Just so. And it is also why they will find no trace of this mystery ship at all. It will vanish completely, Carl. Like a puff of smoke in the wind. In something less than 9 minutes. Now, stand by again while I make another adjustment. But be careful, my friend. Be careful to keep well out of range. Now. Watch out, Jimmy. Don't try to guide the mule.
I'm not, Mr. Hamlin.
He knows more about these trails than you do. Now, wait, let's pull up under there.
You think we ought to stop, Mr. Hamlin? How much time is there?
Wait till I take a look at my watch, Jimmy. 8 minutes to 12.
See, if that's right, Mr. Hamlin, we gotta keep going. There isn't time to stop.
We're doing all we can. Say, Jimmy, did Kent tell you just where to find this cabin?
No, he wasn't sure. He said it was someplace that overlooked the field.
Then we're on the right track. Up ahead away, we'll find the shack.
Mr. Hamlin, come on. We've got to find the cabin.
Take it easy, boy. Hurrying will just get us killed. Can't take these narrow trails at a gallop.
Where are we? Where have we got to?
Wait a minute, let's see. We're on what's called the Chasm Trail. Right up ahead is the narrowest part of it. You see where the moonlight shines against the rock?
Golly, it looks plenty narrow.
And it is. It's sort of a shelf. Sticks out over nothing. Now, what about it? Are you game to try it?
If it'll stop what's going to happen down there in our field, I'll try it. Listen, Mr. Hammond, What about the others? Where do you think they've got to?
The other trail parties? Well, one of them took the Hogback, and the third went around by Sunset Canyon.
Are there cabins up there, too?
Yes, indeed, and they all have a view of the field.
Well, come on, let's get going, Mr. Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
If there is anything up there, we've got to find it in the next 7 minutes.
You better let me go ahead, Jimmy, especially when we get to the shelf.
All right, but I'll be right behind.
Be careful now. If your mule loses his footing, throw yourself against the rocks on the inside of the trail.
Is he apt to do that?
Well, no, but then you never can tell. It's a long way down. Now watch it, Jimmy. Here's the shelf. Just follow right straight along and don't look down.
I couldn't anyway. It's too dark to see much, except where the moonlight is. Golly, it's narrow.
All right. Come on, Jimmy. Don't stop. You want to get off this place. The cabin's just up ahead away.
Mr. Hammond, how far is it across the shelf?
Oh, 400 or 500 yards. Oh, keep going.
Mr. Hammond, listen.
Huh?
What's that noise?
What? It's a slide. There's a rock slide up on the mountain. Get going, Jimmy. From the sound, it might be coming right down here.
But where are we going, Mr. Hammond?
Right on ahead. It's quicker than going back.
No, we can't do it. Look, something just came down right on the trail. Boulders, big ones.
Get back against the rock.
Mr. Hamlin, it's coming straight for us.
Get off that mule, quick, Jimmy. Now duck behind him. That's the way. That's it. Now, quick. All right, against the rock. Hurry up, quick.
It's coming.
Down from the top of the mountain hurtles the mass of rock and earth. But suddenly another sound fills the air. A great rushing of wind. Superman comes streaking over the trail. What? It's Jimmy. Jimmy and Ed Hamlin. They're right under that slide. Down. Down. Here she comes. I can divide that slide right here. It'll jump the shelf and never touch them. Now. Come. Right in the middle. Oh. It's working. It's dividing. They're going to be all right. Oh, going right over their heads. Now for Hagen. It's just time to stop him before midnight. Up, up and away.
Almost ready now. What's the clock say, Carl?
2:40.
2 minutes to go. 2 minutes more, my Carl, and we are in our pay.
Professor, is there any sign yet of the plane?
Oh, not yet.
Will it be on time, do you think?
I think so. If what I've heard is true, it flies to the split second.
Machine,
yes?
Is it ready?
Quite ready, Carl. When the plane appears, I start the teleflame in operation. Once started, it will do its work wherever it is pointed. But mind, my friend, keep out of its way.
Professor.
Yes?
Look, up there in the west.
Lights. Wing lights of a plane, Carl. That's it. It's coming. Just a few seconds more now till it gets above the field.
It's coming like a lightning bolt. Professor Hagen, what speed, look.
And when it hits the Hagen teleflame, it will be even more like a lightning bolt, Carl. It will burst into flames like a meteor. Now I start it. I start the teleflame.
I hear it. I hear it flying.
No, don't be ridiculous. You can't hear it this far off. You hear the teleflame.
No, it's not the teleflame. It's something else. Right over our heads. Professor, look. Look.
Now then, the plane is above the field. Good thing the moon is up so we can see. Now watch, Carl. What?
Professor, there's a man. A man in the sky right over us. Here he comes.
Drop that machine. Shut it off.
Who's that? Carl, stop him. Get him.
I said stop that machine.
Professor, look out. Quick.
Too late, my friend. Now.
No, it's not too late. Just watch this, Hagen.
He's got the machine.
Carl, stop him. Shoot him.
He's turning it around.
Stop.
Now then.
He's pointing it at us.
Look out. The whole cabin is coming down. Look out, Carl.
Look out, Carl.
Oh, stop, Jimmy. Pull up. Oh, boy, that was a narrow escape.
Gosh, that rock slide almost got us, Mr. Hamlin. What about the cabin? Where is it?
Never mind the cabin. Look down the valley. Toward the field, Jimmy. Look.
The plane. I see its lights. The plane.
And look. She's circling for a landing. She's coming down.
Mr. Hamlin, what if she goes up now? What if she catches fire? The cabin. Make for the cabin.
No. It's too late for that. She's got a chance at it. Wait a minute. Look. Jimmy, look. Look, they're down. They've made it. They've landed, and they're safe, Jimmy. They're safe.
Hi there. Did I hear voices?
Ken.
Mr. Kent. Golly, where did you come from?
Off the other trail. Did you see what happened?
Oh, Ken did. We just watched it. The plane safe and sound at Bridgerfield.
But the cabin, Mr. Kent. What about the cat?
Oh, the cabin. It's right up ahead. I've just come from there.
You have? Well, what about Professor Hagen?
Was he there? Did he have a machine?
Oh, yes. Yes, he was there, all right. And he had his machine.
All right. Then what happened?
Hamlin, I don't know. Something must have gone wrong. Instead of hitting the plane, Hagen's machine hit Hagen and then destroyed the cabin. Whatever it was, it's gone now. Hagen and his machine are finished forever.
Ken, are you sure of that?
Absolutely positive. It's a promise. And now what do you say we get back down there and see what this mystery ship looks like, eh? Jimmy and I have a swell story to file for our paper back east.
Oh, boy, I'll say we have. Let's go, Mr. Kent.
Just in the nick of time, Superman saves the day. The mystery plane, last word in man's conquest of the air, rests safely at Bridger Field. And Clark Kent scores a tremendous scoop. But there's another assignment on the way. Even as he speeds eastward again with Jimmy, a strange and unbelievable mystery takes form ahead of him. Tune in next time and follow the story of Superman.
Up in the sky, look! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Superman!
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Our second episode of the day, Buffalo Hills, Part 1, which first aired on May 13th, 1940. Enjoy!
Presenting the transcription feature, Superman!
Up in the sky! Look! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Superman!
Now, Superman, mighty visitor from another world who came to Earth when the planet Krypton was destroyed by quakes and explosions. Superman, who can twist steel in his bare hand, leap tall buildings at a single bound, race a speeding bullet to its target, and who walks about among human beings as champion of the weak and the oppressed, disguised as Clark Kent, news reporter. As our story opens today, Kent has returned from Bridger Field after solving the mystery of the wrecked airplane, and is about to pick up a new assignment. He is in the private office of city editor Perry White of the Daily Planet, and White is staring at him across the desk in some surprise. Listen.
And do you honestly mean to tell me you've never heard of Buffalo Hills?
Well, only just this minute, Chief. No fooling. What is it, a national game preserve?
Buffalo Hills, Kent, is about to become a national shrine.
Oh, now I remember. It's where they carved the pictures in the side of a mountain.
Well, now you're waking up.
Uh-huh.
Enormous sculptures, Kent. Scenes representing the early history of the pioneers. Carved in granite half a mile up in the air in the face of the cliff.
Yes, haven't they been at it for 5 years or something?
More than that. Now they've finished. Next week comes the big unveiling.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you'll like Buffalo Hills. Fine air, wonderful views. And, of course, that's Al Carson's state.
Al J. Carson? The reform governor? Oh, so that's what it is. You think there may be trouble, eh?
Well, I didn't say so, Ken.
I understand, Mr. White.
Well, Carson's had a fight on his hands. He cleaned up the state, but there's a certain gang that's sworn to get him.
Yes, wasn't he shot at just last week?
Yes, for the third time. They send a heavy police guard wherever he goes. I don't know. Now, if I were a crook and wanted to get a well-known public figure, well, what would you do?
I'd pick a time when he was out in the open with lots of people.
Yeah, just so. Now, for instance, the ceremonies at Buffalo Hills where Governor Carson will make the chief address. See?
Uh-huh.
Steady room. White. Who? Hatch. Well, what is he? Oh, yes, yes. Certainly I know him. Certainly. All right, let him come up.
All right, Mr. White. I'll be running along then. Got to get tickets and expense money.
Stick around, Ken. You ever meet Asa Hatch?
The old man who takes pictures?
He's an old friend of mine, Ken. Pioneer, Indian fighter, scientist, scholar. Probably the best landscape photographer in the country. And besides that, he's a regular amateur detective.
What?
You heard me. Amateur Sherlock Holmes. Also volunteer traveling correspondent for the Daily Planet.
Wow.
You better stick around and meet him, Ken. Men like Asa Hatch are scarce. Well, I had no idea he was in town.
Harry, my dear, dear fellow, the very man I want to see.
Come in, Asa. Come in and shut the door. Ken, pull up a chair.
My dear Perry, the story of a lifetime. Front page, absolutely.
Now, Asa, sit down and stop bubbling like a fountain. Meet one of my bright young men, Clark Kent.
How do you do, Mr. Hatch?
Delighted, charmed. Perry, stop the presses. How long before you go to bed?
Me or the paper?
The paper.
10 minutes ago. What's on your mind?
A sensation, believe me. Look at me, Perry. Mr. Kent, if that's the name.
That's it.
Observe me up and down and sideways. Do I appear dangerous, vicious?
Dangerous? What are you talking about?
Is there anything about me to stir people to rage, homicidal frenzy?
I'm afraid I don't.
In words of one syllable, is there any reason why anyone should want to kill me?
Kill you? Hazel, what are you talking about?
Well, my dear fellow, I'm doing my best to tell you. Kindly don't interrupt. Merely listen.
Yes, yes, we're listening.
I said don't interrupt. I arrived in this metropolis of yours from the south and went to the station to purchase a ticket for the west, to be explicit, for Boulder City.
Boulder City? Are you going out to Buffalo Hills?
Of course, my dear fellow, if you insist on interrupting, I shall take myself and my story to the Daily Express.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's merely that Kent's going out to Boulder City, too. You'll be company for him.
Certainly, Perry, if he enjoys traveling with a corpse.
What?
The word was corpse. One who has departed this life.
Now, Asa, look here. Would you mind telling us what in heaven's name you're talking about?
Not at all. I've been trying to for some minutes.
Then what is it?
My hat.
What?
My hat. There it is. Look at it. Mr. Kent, you look at it.
Well, it looks all right, Mr. Hatch. A little dusty on one side, but...
Natural consequence of being plucked from the gutter. And what was it doing in the gutter? Lying there, gentlemen, after being shot from my head.
What? Shot from your head?
Quite so. Look at it closely. A hole in the crown, yes. That hole was made by a bullet.
What?
Please, Perry, your remarks have a certain monotony. The last three have been... What?
But I don't understand.
Look, Perry, I came out of the station, walked by an alley, and someone shot my hat off with a rifle.
Yes, but who did it and why? Did they take you for a gangster?
How do you know it was a rifle?
Well, please, gentlemen, one at a time. I don't know who did it, nor why, nor whether they took me for a gangster, and I merely guessed that a rifle was used.
Why?
Because I saw no sign of the perpetrator and heard no shot. Too far for a pistol. Now then, what I should like to know is, what next?
Well, Mr. Hatch, have you reported this to the police?
Not so far, Mr. Kent. I prefer to come straight to my old friend, White. As I said before, front page story. Distinguished photographer shot in dark. Attempted murder in the night. Well, Perry?
Asa, when did this happen?
This evening, barely 20 minutes ago.
Have you been anywhere since?
I told you I came straight here. I walked across the park, and here I am.
The window!
The Dickens,
left my
soul. Mr. Hatch, stand back from that window. Get back. Are you hurt?
No, I think not.
Mr. White, that was a bullet. Someone fired a bullet at Mr. Hatch through the window.
Call the police. Call the press room. Get out there and do something, Ken.
I'm going, Mr. White.
Hey, you men out there. Ferguson, Moore, get in here. Call the police. No, don't call the police.
Now then, out of sight in the hall. I think it's time Clark Kent changed into Superman and did a little detective work. If that was a bullet, I know just about where it came from. Out of these clothes. Up with the window. And out we go. Out and away. Now then. That shot came through the window and hit the wall across the office near the ceiling. So whoever it was fired it from below and almost directly opposite. Down we go. Down.
down to that empty floor in the loft across from the planet building. Down, down! Down on that ledge. Hope I make a good landing. Here we go. Uh-oh. Almost slipped that time. I wish they'd make these ledges a little broader. 6 inches wide and 40 feet above the street. Now then, if I can just edge along a bit. I think that's an open window just ahead. It is. Open just an inch or two. What? Something's coming out of it. It's a rifle barrel. Great Scott, he's going to try again. That lighted window in White's office is a perfect target. Oh, no, you don't, my friend. Not twice in the same place. Not while Superman's around. No time for crawling. Got to burst in there and knock that gun down. Out. And down. And in through the window.
Hey, what the...
Put down that gun.
Where'd you come from? Stand back.
I said put down that gun. I won't say it again.
You bet you won't say it again. Don't come any closer. All right.
No good. Bullets just bounce, and so will you.
Hey, what are you doing? Get away! Get away!
Quick, talk and talk fast. Why did you shoot at Asa Hatch?
What do you know about Asa Hatch?
Why did you shoot at him? Who sent you here?
None of your business.
Now, is that so? Well, I'm making it my business. I told you once before to drop that gun.
Get away from me! Get away! I won't talk! You can't make me!
Quick, the police will be here in a minute. I hear them downstairs already. Talk. I said talk.
Ow! Ow! Let me go! Quit it! Ow! I'll get you! I'll get you!
Stop that! I won't give you another chance. Look out for that gun!
Oh, got me.
Oh, fool, I told him to watch out.
I'm going. Quick. Listen.
Hell, what is it? Quick, someone's coming.
I'm going. I'll talk now. Listen.
Quick, quick.
They sent me.
Yes?
Flores. Alcos.
Who's Flores?
Get Hatch. Flores.
Yes?
Oh.
Oh, he's gone, poor fellow. Nothing I can do for him now. I can't be found here either. One more second, they'll be piling through that door. Out the window. Out we go. Back to the planet office. Up, up, and away.
Well, I can't understand it. I can't understand where he went. I told him to get the police and find out what was going on. Come in.
Ah, there he is. Speak of angels, Perry, and you hear the flutter of their wings.
Can, come in. Man of life, where have you been?
Mr. White, they got him. They got the man who did the shooting.
Good work. Who was he?
I can't tell you that. He was hiding in an empty loft across the street. When the watchman broke in and cornered him, he shot himself.
Shot himself? Why?
Well, nobody knows.
Mr. Kent, did he have any remark to make on the reason for the shooting?
Mr. Hatch, he did say something. He mentioned two names.
Ah, what were they?
Flores. He said Flores and then Carson.
Carson? Great Scott. Did he mean Al Carson, the governor?
Oh, beyond a doubt. Go on, Mr. Kent.
Well, Mr. Hatch, that's all. It was all he said.
Well, what were his exact words, Kent?
As near as I remember, he said, they sent me. Flores. Carson.
I don't believe it. It can't be true. Carson, the governor of a state, sending gunmen to murder innocent people back east? It can't be the governor.
Oh, it isn't, Perry, it isn't. But Flores, Pete Flores, I know him well.
You do? But what have they got against you?
Mr. Hatch, what's it all about?
My dear Mr. Kent, I haven't the slightest idea. But I can promise you one thing. You said something about traveling west with me to Boulder City.
Yes, that's right. He's covering the celebration at Buffalo Hills.
What is it, Mr. White?
Yeah? Well, what is it? Great Scott! Look here. More trouble at Boulder City.
What?
Governor Carson's automobile wrecked in a head-on smash.
Ah.
Was he hurt?
No, just a few scratches.
Very lucky. Just how lucky, even he doesn't know. Yes, as I was saying, Mr. Kent, about your trip to Buffalo Hills for the celebration.
Well, what about it, Asa?
Whatever else it may be, it won't be dull. Oh, dear me, no. And as far as celebrations are concerned, Mr. Kent, I think, you can prepare more for something like the 4th of July.
Mystery piling on mystery. What is Asa Hatch talking about? Who is Pete Flores? And what is the connection between Flores and Governor Carson? And why should anyone train a rifle on an elderly scientist and photographer? Tune in next time and follow the story of Superman.
Up in the sky! Look! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Superman!
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.